Welcome to the VGRT Gaming Podcast. This is an outtakes episode while I'm at E3. Be prepared for some Doctor Who, some Game of Thrones, and some general outtakes.
Okay. I don't know how much Jennifer's going to be able to talk about it because she fell asleep during it.
She can get it on demand, god damn it. Why aren't you up to date?
Oh, we have it. God, we have it. She just hasn't had a chance to rewatch it yet.
I got most of this past episode. I was cogent enough to gasp when I saw River Song. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah, but she appears like 5 minutes into the episode. You could easily have passed out after that.
Well,
she woke up at the end with John Hurt. That was kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't think that this has ever happened before, but has John Hurt been the Doctor before?
John Hurt has never been the Doctor before, no.
Okay, so speculation, is this a former Doctor or a future Doctor?
Speculation that I've been reading is that this is pre-Eccleston.
Yeah, because there was that whole period of time in there. So perhaps the person that we know as the 11th actor to play the Doctor, and I've made this point before, by the way, the 11th actor that we have known playing the Doctor is not the Doctor's 11th incarnation.
Right. There are two competing theories. One is that this is a Doctor before number one, before Hartnell, and that he did something horrible. And as a result, the Doctor changed his name and has been on the run ever since. The other theory is that this is either a very aged Doctor number 8, who was originally Paul McGann, who was the person that ended the Time War and exterminated all the Time Lords and exterminated all the Daleks. But there could have been another incarnation between 8 and 9 as well.
I still hold my theory that there is a female incarnation between 8 and 9.
we've not seen the regeneration from 8 to 9, so we don't know. What we do know is when Eccleston started as 9, he was still a new incarnation. He talked about seeing his ears for the first time and was somewhat horrified. So, you know, in the first episode, Eccleston was brand new, but we don't know what happened between McGann and Eccleston.
Okay, now I would like to point out that this episode, in as far as it relates to the Impossible Girl, was incredibly similar to the Heart of the TARDIS episode. And, oh yeah, by the way, Paul called it.
Yes, it was absolutely what you called, and pretty much exactly the same as the Heart of the TARDIS. She went into the crack of time and got split up into a million billion different fragments, but integrating her with all the other Doctors was kind of cool too.
Yeah, it was a well done tribute. I think that they were trying to show more about the 50-year history of the show than trying to make Clara at all herself interesting.
Right.
It was nice to see the actress in the different period costumes and blue screened in with. Badly blue screened in with all the other Doctor actors.
If you're going to complain about bad blue screen and production values, if you go back and you look at some of those old episodes, the production values were pretty grim back then. That's anyway. True.
The production values do not violate the continuity of the original episodes. I will agree with that. Yes.
This is true. I mean, yeah, that's just part of being a Whovian, is that you forgive that crap.
Yeah. But no, I was very – well, and how exciting is it to see John Hurt as the Doctor? I mean, that I want the explanation behind that.
Now,
but John
now
Hurt
– here's my question. Why do I care? And you could explain this to me, I'm sure. Why do I care that John Hurt is the Doctor?
Why do you care, or why should you care?
Both. Either. Take it wherever you want.
Well, I think the reason why you should care is that an actor of his caliber being attracted to Doctor Who, it was kind of like when Derek Jacobi was doing the character who became the Master, right? I mean, you have an Oscar-winning actor doing Doctor Who. I mean, that's big news.
You know, when he first turned around, I could have sworn it was Sir Ian McKellen.
Well, Sir Ian McKellen did the voice of the Great Intelligence.
At what point?
This season, earlier this season with Clara in the, I think it was the second episode where Clara was in the
1800s. Okay, fine. I totally didn't know that. But speaking of the Great Intelligence, what a lame character altogether.
He was from Doctor Number Two originally, so yeah.
I mean, this just reeked of, oh crap, we need some way to get the Doctor to his own tomb. Quick, pick somebody who we've had lying around this season. Oh, this guy. Okay, go.
Exactly, yeah. But the creepy aliens, the Whisper, were kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah, the faceless things with the teeth.
Yeah.
They kind of reminded me of...
The Silence.
Yeah, the Silence episode of Buffy.
Oh, okay. I was thinking the
gentleman. What was that when they called in that? The same nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, just minus the top.
I never watched Buffy, so I don't know. But, you know, the last season.
Well, that's your task.
The episode was called Hush.
Hush, yes. Okay, the episode was called Hush. And visually, exact same things, except no top hats and the ones in Buffy had faces.
I see.
Like, just, you know, creepy, like, men in suits.
Yeah, these reminded me of the whatever they were last season, the faceless.
The Silence.
Yeah, Silence. Those never really got explained to my satisfaction, thank you very much. And, you know, between them and Weeping Angels, I may not sleep very well.
I'm not really finding all of these particular creatures very interesting as much as I am finding them easy to draw. I mean... which is a Paulism from He-Man, you know, anytime they have this kind of indefinable evil, you know, it's just kind of this giant black cloud because it's easy to draw. So, but that's what I'm finding all of these Weeping Angels and the Silence and the Great Intelligence. It's like, yeah, like screw all of you. You're boring. You're interchangeable. I mean, you might as well just have every episode star the Daleks crying.
But Strax was fun. We like Strax.
You know who I liked? I liked the Empress of the Rachnos. I liked the Adipose. I liked the characters that kind of only seem to be around for one episode.
The Adipose were hilarious.
That episode was on the other day.
I like the TARDIS as a girl.
The TARDIS as a girl was very fun, too.
Yeah, I like the TARDIS's. I like the Doctor's wife, not the actual Doctor's wife, but the episode The Doctor's Wife.
What did you?
I mean, I like the Doctor's wife too, but I mean, timey wimey wibbly wobbly.
What did you think of last week's episode with Neil Gaiman writing it and all of that? The with a special appearance by what's his name, Warwick Davis.
What was the plot of that episode again?
That was the one where they take the kids to the amusement park planet.
Oh my god, that was so boring. Okay, well, first of all, that episode starts off like in the middle of a story, and I kind of felt like, wait, did I miss the first 10 minutes? Like, because they didn't at all show a scene in which the Doctor has any problems taking two additional passengers, when he usually, you know, it didn't feel like. It felt like it was missing 10 minutes at the beginning.
In media res is a well-known trope. Come on now.
Well, they had that at the end of the previous episode with the kids figuring out that Clara has been a time traveler, right?
Yeah, so there's your extra 5 minutes.
But the way that episode was written, it just felt like I had missed an entire first commercial break.
I can see that. I enjoyed it with the Cybermen and all of that stuff. I my particular favorite piece was at the very end where they're getting off the TARDIS saying goodbye and they say, "Thank you, Clara. Thank you, Clara's boyfriend."
Yeah, I definitely think that it's about time he got busy with one of his companions and good for Clara. It should be her.
Well, what about River? Isn't he still married to River though?
She's dead. She died the first time he met her. She's an echo. She said goodbye, sweetie. What more do you want?
She can't say goodbye until it's the episode where she doesn't know who he is.
Yeah. I don't want to see that episode, but there you go.
She said goodbye, sweetie. Okay, so she's got... The actress has one more appearance in which she doesn't know who he is.
How do you know it's only one more appearance?
Yeah, well, and therein lies the problem, is that the entire time we've seen this character before, she has known more than the Doctor has known about what's going on. And I definitely think that, you know, to give her, to give us the episode in which she meets the Doctor for the first time is just going to be kind of doing a disservice to the character in the long run. It's just going to be boring to watch. It's not going to feel faithful. It's going to feel, you know what? This is what it's going to feel like. It's going to feel like Wesley Crusher's last episode, where he just, I mean, Will Wheaton was like, he was just a completely different character, where he's, you know, he's never been that. He's like, okay, wait, we got to get him off the show. Hold on. Here you go. Go to college.
Her song never made me want to punch her in the face.
That's besides the point. Give her time.
But I think we need the bookend, though, right? Because we had the first bookend with her talking to Ten, meeting Ten for the first time, and she's like, "Tell me you know who I am. You tell me that you know who I am." And he's like, "Yeah, who are you again?" You know, we need that opposite episode.
Or I don't know. I'm like, kind of feeling like the whole River Song thing is done.
What the Doctor's like, River! And she's like, yeah, who are you?
I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like the whole River Song thing is done. I mean, she did
say the spoilers line, though, right? She did hint that there's something more coming with her.
Well, yeah, she did, and I just hope that... You know, here's my problem. Rose. It's, you know, Billie Piper as Rose was a fantastic character. She helped revitalize the franchise for an entire new generation, and frankly, it was through identifying with her that people started watching the show again, and, you know, even for the first time, like me. So... The problem is they wrote her off the show and they brought her back and they wrote her off the show. They brought her back and they wrote her off the show. They brought her back. And it just kept screwing with her ending until it made it so unbelievable that you couldn't care anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, she's trapped in another dimension. Oh, she's trapped in another dimension and with her family. And now, oh, she's trapped in another dimension with her family and has everything she ever wanted except the Doctor, who's the only thing she wants now. And, oh, wait, now she has the clone of the Doctor, too. Oh, yeah. And it just kind of robbed her of any kind of gravitas at that point. So now it's like, oh, my God, if you show me Billie Piper one more time on this show, I'm going to hit you.
Well, she is coming back for the 50th anniversary.
Can it be before the alternate dimension, please?
I don't know. I have no knowledge of the events of that day.
If they keep writing any more onto her story from her timeline's point of view, like, I'm going to throw something at the TV. You know, I liked her little cameo from whatever that Christmas episode was when, you know, she talked to the Doctor before she met Eccleston. High school. Like, that's the kind of Billie Piper I can deal with at this point. Don't keep adding on to her story.
You know, like, I was surprised at seeing.
What I'm saying about River Song is that the story feels finished. Don't screw with it.
The actor who played Mickey had a fairly large role in Star Trek Into Darkness. I was very surprised.
Good for him. I mean, I don't care, but good for him.
It was interesting seeing him on screen, particularly in a big movie like that.
I was also surprised at the role that he took.
Yeah, I'm assuming you haven't seen Star Trek.
Let me guess. He played a black man.
He played a black man. Yes, he did, as a matter of fact.
Okay, just checking.
No, he plays a key role.
Stop, spoilers. We're not going to discuss Star Trek Into Darkness.
He plays a key role at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, fair enough.
No, I'm not really that all up into that reboot. But yeah, I called it. Clara threw herself across all of space and time, and all the Claras were her. Haha.
Absolutely
right.
Called it. Yep. Absolutely. And that's the only story solution that made sense.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, how do you not see that one coming, frankly? oh my God. So wait, why do we have to wait 6 months for more Doctor Who? They only gave us five episodes.
The only question I have now is, are we going to see Clara continuing to be the companion, or is there going to be a new one?
I hope we see her continue, only because I don't want to take the time to get to know another companion. That feels lame.
Wow, that's an argument for why you want to stay in a current relationship.
Exactly. I don't want to get to know some new broad. I put in 8 episodes on this one.
There's a lot of explaining that there's a lot of explaining that Moffat has to do, and not just for Doctor Who, because he left Sherlock hanging too. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff he needs. He's got explaining to do.
The next Doctor Who companion should be a transsexual woman, just to mix things up.
That'd be nice.
A transsexual robot.
Oh, goodness.
How's that possible? Robots don't have sexes.
Sure they can.
No, they don't.
Sure they can. It's science fiction. You write it into their AI.
Okay, so I guess we're going to wrap that up on a very weird note.
You started it.
Yeah, I know.
Weird note.
Okay, see you next time for... Well, I don't know. Are you going to be able to discuss Doctor Who during the hiatus?
There'll be nothing to discuss until November.
Until November. So, yeah.
Here's the thing. You could always speculate, and you could also talk about the entire history of Doctor Who. I mean...
We could pick a random episode to discuss.
Wheel
of Morality. Turn. Tell us a lesson that we should learn.
That is also on cable nowadays.
Yeah. Moral number 4.
And the moral is, win a free trip to Tahiti! We won!
Oh God. Maybe next week Paul can tell us what he thinks about Disney trying to princessify Merida and summarily having to unprincessify her.
Oh, I can tell you that right now. I didn't have any problems with the dress. I think that the problem really was that they tried to age her up. She's clearly, like, the body figure from the film clearly suggests, like, a 13-year-old girl.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 13 years old, probably closer to 12. But they tried to make her, like, a 16-year-old to fit in with the rest of the princess line, as opposed to being, like, the young princess.
I just want to see Princess Leia join the princess line in her gold Return of the Jedi bikini.
I think that was the fundamental mistake, was trying to age her up. Making the blouse a little lower cut, that wasn't really a problem for me. Making the waistline slimmer, that was a little bothersome to me, I gotta say, because it was unnecessary. There was no guiding thought.
Paul,
there.
They did the same thing to Pocahontas, who was a 12-year-old girl originally.
Dressing up the gown with more flourish, I thought that was fantastic too. Also, I mean, she doesn't have to walk around with her bow everywhere she goes, does she? I mean, Mulan doesn't carry her sword everywhere. And honestly, I think that the big thing that I heard was that people were pissed off that they relaxed her hair. And I'm like, okay, we do not have an advanced hand-drawn hair algorithm, so we're just going to have to go with what a human person can do and reproduce 15 billion times a day.
Okay, so we have to wrap this up. And remember, Disney Princess Leia.
Disney Princess Leia.
Oh
yeah.
My God, that would be hilarious.
Disney slave Princess Leia.
On backpacks.
But, you know, they'll make Jabba the Hutt cute like they did with Quasimodo.
I'm waiting for Star Wars babies.
Oh, they've already had that, Paul. You're way late on that one.
Disney
you also can't do droids, and you also can't do Ewoks as well. They already did cartoons devoted those two as well.
Disney Star Wars babies.
What about that little girl who was in those two Ewok movies? You think Disney would do something with that?
Possibly. I don't know.
You know, the second Ewok movie was so dark, you know?
All right, we've gotten off of any topic that I give a crap about.
Well, watch Doctor Who appears in Star Wars. See, there I tied it up.
There you go.
Okay.
With a Disney princess.
Unnecessary.
Okay, that's it. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, Bond.
Bye.
At Bioshock Infinite's ending may cause controversy. Insert disclaimer. The views expressed here are solely those of the author of this comment and his private capacity and do not anyway represent the views of the podcast staff. This is great news. As an ardent atheist, I'm always looking forward to breaking boundaries as far as talking about religion and showing it in media goes. In my opinion, a game where Jesus and the Christian God are presented is nothing different than Kratos and Zeus and God of War. If you want to quit your job because of a controversial portrayal of a fictional character, it's your choice.
By the way, one item that I refuse to talk about because it gets me so angry is the current thing that's going on with God of War Ascension, in which Kratos brutally murders a woman in visceral detail, you know, and, you know, it's like, and in the end, it's actually pointless, you know. It was just there for people to get their rocks off visually beating in a woman's face. And the achievement was, the trophy was Bros Before Hoes. And so what was the Sony Santa Monica's response? Oh, we'll just change the name of the achievement. Like, that was the point? That was not the point of the entire thing. It wasn't the fact that you were really – the trophy name was disgusting. It was what was going on, you know?
I don't even remember hearing about that. I try to pay as little attention to God of War as I can.
It's just that, you know, Kratos from the middle of 2 on is just evil, and he's an unlikable character. I don't know why they keep on trotting him out. Again, Sony needs this quote-unquote flagship character. I'm going to tell you something. Kratos is not a flagship character.
Yeah, and he raises a good point about religion in games and, you know, what can and cannot be mentioned. I don't remember anybody batting an eye over the Assassin's Creed games, and they had the whole Apple of Eden and the backstory that, you know, this was originally Adam and Eve and you know, technology and all of that stuff. So,
still dragging,
you know,
Jesus.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine with whatever BioShock plans on doing.
And by the way, one of my amusing things is the way people use the word atheist. I don't think they know what it means, because what atheist means is that it isn't that you don't believe in God, but you believe there is no God. And if God was to come down from heaven and say, "Hi, I'm God," and prove you as God, you say, "I don't believe you." What most people think of as atheism is actually agnosticism.
We've seen enough Star Trek episodes that if God does come down and say, "Hey, I'm Apollo," you go, "Citation needed." Everybody knows that.
Anyways, you know, what most people think is atheism is actually agnostics. Yeah. Which basically is, I don't really believe in God, but if he appears to me, okay, I'll believe in him.
As an atheist myself, I maintain that agnostics are atheists with a fear of commitment.
But if you're an atheist, that means if God comes to you, you're going to say, "No, I don't believe you anyway." My favorite are mesotheists. You know who those people are?
No.
Those people believe in God and absolutely hate him. We do have a pretty good example of him, actually. Riddick from Pitch Black, yes. And he even gives a speech about it.
So that would be correct. I would say that, yes.
And by the way, one other thing, while we're still in religion, I love how Christian fundamentalists think that
Riddick,
our
the quote from Riddick was something along the lines of,
"Absolutely hate the
is a god. He just doesn't give a sh-."
No. How can you? You know, be born in a way like that, you know, and not believe in God. Of course I believe in God, and I absolutely hate the fucker.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite things is that Tea Partiers and fundamentalists say that our founding fathers were Christians or whatever. They were not. They were deists.
Deists, yeah.
And, you know, deists believe that God created science and then stood back and let everything happen.
The blind watchmaker, yeah.
Yeah. I have my own thing, but I'm not going to get into it. Continuing on.
So, what was your favorite moment in the TD Gaming podcast over the years? I only started listening some 30 episodes ago, but I always enjoy Paul's one-liner, "I don't give a f-. No hate mail for you, Paul. Sorry."
See, and he's not here for this.
Paul's not here to not get his hate mail anyway.
That's not hate mail, yeah. But I think he would have liked that. Hold on one second. Let me make this a little easier for you, Paul.
No, it's just... badly. Oh, ow, ow. It just got so much bigger.
Oh, that's what she said.
I hate that joke. That is the worst joke in the universe. But that's also the same time where the Wii U draw came out for the PS3 and 360, and we lost about $100 million on days.
You know, again, this is not my fault.
Nobody blamed you. I was just gonna blame Boone.
Levine, or is it Levine or Levine?
Either one, pick.
Okay, Levine. Biocost inf. What am I saying? Jordan, what do you think?
Well, you know, a couple of things. I think first off,
1 second, Jordan, can you get yourself closer to the mic? Well, Paul's too close. You're too far away.
I'm not too close. I'm
you're
just
not too close
obnoxious.
Now, Paul. I mean, before you were. Okay, go ahead.
So, I just went.
It said Paul. Is your name Paul? Jordan.
Okay, fine. Picky.
I know, but Paul said it's Jordan, and I said I just went.
Okay. Schaefer's Double Fire Adventure Project from
Fire,
Kickstarter.
Fine. Come on.
I'm going. I need to have my eyes checked.
You know, I didn't know what, you know, it's nice to, I don't know. Go ahead, Paul.
Yep, Paul's reminding everyone that he's got to get going.
Okay. Jordan?
I don't have to go anywhere. I'm fine.
No.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Anyways, we're going to do this last one, and we're going to let Paul go. Then it'll just be me and Jordan.
All right, kids. I got to run.
Okay, see you later.
Go run.
Just
fine,
because all we have is listener feedback left.
Try not to talk about me while I'm gone.
Hey, did you hear about Paul?
I mean, yeah, you no longer have competitors. Your competitors are now your business. And, yeah. You know, they're still on that stupid Steam Box idea. I can't tell you how many ways...
Yeah, what's that noise?
What?
Sounds like something's on fire.
Yeah. Sounds like a campfire.
What?
I'm hearing a campfire noise.
Yeah, what are you doing over there, Jonah, that sounds like a campfire?
Nothing. What are you talking about? Campfire noise?
I'm not making it up, because Jordan hears it too.
I don't hear anything.
Okay.
It's kind of
crackly.
It's crackly, kind of like something is burning.
Oh, it's just static, I guess.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, live and learn, then get loves.
So long as I don't hear it, you know what? The podcast won't record it.
There you go.
So,
okay.
Silence. Come on, say something.
That's all, folks.
We don't want to get in the way of your rants, Jonah.
Go ahead. I mean, I say these rants so that you could either agree or disagree with me. Go ahead.
Yeah. As for Levine, it's no surprise that he put so much effort into the game that, judging from all reactions, I've been... Stop jumping around the copy, Jordan!
As for Levine, just start from there.
Sorry, I was able to ignore you going up, but you came back down. I'm just like, stop, that's where I'm reading.
Yeah.
What kind of accountant works at 8 o'clock at night, Paul? Are you seeing a mob accountant?
Screw you, Stooley.
Does your boyfriend have anything to worry about?
No, this guy's just really in demand.
Anyways.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
And accountancy isn't his full-time gig.
Uh-oh.
Like, he only does taxes, like, he only does taxes during, like, tax season. So, like, he has a full 9-to-4 job, and then he leaves that and then goes to his office to do taxes, because he loves doing people's taxes.
So you're trusting your taxes to somebody who's moonlighting. Okay.
Well, he just said that he loves doing taxes,
no,
which disturbs me.
He does taxes because it's his passion.
Yeah, I'm just saying, being a tax accountant is your passion...
I'm not going to fault someone for following their love.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's just what one step below tech, IT tech, isn't it?
Just about.
Okay, well, you know, I used to do data entry, so I have no reason to talk. Not that I love it; it's just that I had to do it.
No,
anyway,
this guy loves saving people money. Like, it's really weird.
Well, how about making them money? Forget saving it. Making them money, you know?
Well, you know what I mean. He loves getting them a giant rebate. It's it's a little disturbing. It's like almost sexual.
It's a puzzle for him.
Mm.
Exactly.
It's a game.
You know,
it's a game.
Then, you know, maybe he would want the Star Wars spreadsheet game.
Okay, Paul, I will give you a hint here. Here's the way that you get lots and lots of money back from the government. You have to stay single, but you need to suddenly become a parent. And all of a sudden, all the money are belong to you.
All the money are belong to me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So just say you adopted a kid who died.
Oh, God!
No, I bet there's a mob accountant out there that could make that happen.
No, a fake kid who died.
Oh, my God. What a great idea for a television show. Mob accountant.
I think there already is one now.
No, because you always hear like shows about like a mob doctor.
Who cares
about the doctor? Accountants, you know where the real drama is.
Trust me, the mob accountant is the one who shuts up the most. He's the one who does not say a word about anything. You know, he had to go to jail to become a crook. That's what Eddie Dufresne said.
Oh.
I don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
You never saw The Shawshank Redemption?
Shawshank Redemption?
Yes, oh. I did back in 1992 with the rest of the world.
Oh, that's wow. You saw it 2 years before it was even out in theaters.
Yeah.
It actually came out. Exactly. I'm sorry, it came out five years before it came out in theaters.
You know what? The Shawshank Redemption was the first movie that pointed out to me the greatness that is God, Morgan Freeman.
Ever since I was a little boy, people have enjoyed the sound.
I really didn't like him in The Shawshank Redemption. He was much better in Street Smart. Go rent that movie.
I want
Bioshock. Okay, so we'll send you Bioshock. Bioshock 1, since that's what you're asking for.
Oh. Ouch.
I'm kidding. We'll send him Bioshock 2. That's worse.
It sounds like an SUV of some sort.
I was thinking it sounds a little bit more like Mandingo. You know, hey, want to go play with Mandingo for a while? Ouch.
Well, that's offensive.
What's wrong with playing with Mandingo?
They got away with it in Django Unchained.
Yes, but they used it in that movie because it's an offensive term.
No, I'm referring to the porn actor Mandingo.
Oh, okay.
Anyways,
well, that's completely
even more offensive. Jesus,
not a racism reference. That's perfectly okay.
Okay,
but they're hand in hand. I look forward to future podcasts and hope that I can win this copy of Hot S. Thank you doing this, guys.
Yeah, pick up that phone.
Someone's ringing. Answer that,
Paul.
I thought that was you. Oh, the scrolling. Dominions for Matt.
Paul, okay, there goes Paul again, reading the first and last letter of a word.
Have you been playing Dominion, Paul? Is that it?
It's actually, my copies of Dominion are directly above my computer.
Really? Line of sight of you, see?
that's just where they live. Mad Max Furry Road.
Fury.
It looks like furry
road. that's when Mad Max is riding around with bunny outfits.
That would be a completely different game.
That would be a game.
That's the movie. And it's not going to be starring Mel Gibson either. I think who is the guy who plays Shinzon? Tom Hardy is going to be playing the Max character in that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, getting back to the copy. In a statement, Nintendo's president Shirato Iwata.
Satoru Iwata, come on.
Satoru Iwata. Gesundheit.
Yes, as it does.
Paul, don't breathe into the mic, please.
I'm not breathing into the mic. That's Jordan. No, that's Jordan.
I don't think
so. I'm sitting far, far away from my microphone.
Anyway. No, he knows it.
Sound off because an 18 to 20-year-old Mel Gibson is really excellent with no sound. He was
like
sound.
Most men.
Oh, no argument for me there.
Okay. We're going to see you next week, folks.
Yeah. I'm going to have to put the podcast on hold, Jonah, because I appear to be bleeding profusely and I'm not quite sure why.
Oh, that's great.
Actually, it looks like it's just a little poke.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
This podcast is so awesome, it'll make you bleed.
apparently it's making me
be careful. People listening to this podcast, we're gonna make your ears bleed, just like Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
I just want to make some eardrums bleed.
Fortunately, I can't feel my feet, so...
Well, okay, that's not necessarily fortunate.
Yeah. I wonder if when Magic was freaking out, maybe he stabbed him?
Possibly. Because I don't even... Now that I've wiped everything away...
Uh-huh.
I don't even see the hole left.
Maybe... Wait, is it in your foot? Maybe you're bleeding from the toenail.
No, it's on the bottom of my foot.
Oh. Maybe you stepped in a packet of ketchup.
Doesn't look like it. There's a whole big bloody spot on the floor.
Maybe you have stigmata.
I have had stigmata in the past, so that, you know, that's always a possibility.
Yeah.
That's a lot of blood. There's a phrase you don't hear every day.
Like I said... The video game roundtable podcast.
We're gonna make you bleed.
That's a lot of blood.
Yeah, it is. Hey, Alan, would you do me a favor?
Yes.
Get some gauze then.
Run into our bathroom and get some more baby wipes, please.
Don't you have gauze? By the way, Jordan, you might find this interesting that Orlando Jones has started tweeting about me.
Really?
Yeah. And the only reason I know him best is because he loves Halo so much that he did Marine voices on Halo 2.
Not necessarily sure that that's your blood.
It might not be my blood.
Oh God, who? Okay, so Jennifer is now Lizzie Borden. Is he hiding someone underneath the floorboards?
Magic, you all right, buddy? Now, we have a cat that is known to have a hole in his side. I wonder if maybe.
Oh yeah, that's probably it then. Maybe your cat was underneath and started bleeding.
Thank you.
Yeah, you may have stepped in blood.
It looks very much like that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Okay, since you don't need bandaging, Jordan, let's continue.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Let me finish cleaning up the blood.
Yes, everybody. We have to pause the podcast because Jordan has to clean up some blood in his apartment. But don't worry, we won't call the police. It was the cat. Wink, wink.
That's a lot of freaking blood.
At least it's fresh, and it seems to be coming straight out of the carpet.
Well, we've got some stain remover, too, so...
I'll call 911. Hey, do you know how to get blood out of the carpet?
Oh, God. Yeah, that's not going to cause, you know, problems. Good Lord.
Maybe you should check the cat.
That's what I'm thinking, dear. When you're done with that, check Magic. Make sure he's all right. You okay, buddy?
My cat is sleeping by my side right now.
Well, he seems to have these medical problems when the podcast comes around.
Yeah, he had a stroke during that one podcast.
What?
Yeah.
The TD Gaming Podcast will give your cat a stroke.
Yeah.
We'll make your ears bleed and give you a stroke.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I went to Goodwill and I saw a copy of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon for $2.99 and I snapped it up.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. And one of the we're going into movie talk here, but one last note about that. When I saw it on cable with the English dub, I was shocked at how well the English dub was made. It was really high quality English dub. You could not tell that they were not speaking English.
I don't remember watching it with English, so I wouldn't know.
If you do, you'll be shocked. Wait, are they actually speaking? It's a dub, but it's well done so well. The mouth and the words are timed perfectly.
I'll have to look that up.
Also, it helps that the actors are also speaking in English. The actual actors, not the they didn't hire someone a bunch of people from Texarkana to dub in the voices. Have you noticed that whenever you watch
that's one of my favorite things, by the way, is if you ever catch a Japanese samurai movie on the Spanish language channel. No, that's one of my favorite things in the world.
If you ever watch any movies that were brought to America by Sandy Frank. You'll notice that a lot of them have accents like this. all of a sudden they become Texarkana actors, you know.
You hit that sometimes with the dubbed Miyazaki flicks, which is just sick and wrong.
Of course, you also have the famous dubbing of the German version of Hamlet with Ricardo Montalban playing Claudius. So you keep on expecting him to say, "Rich Corinthian leather, go tattoo, invite our guests," you know.
So what is the spoiler policy here, Jonah?
If you've not seen, listened to, or otherwise heard about Game of Thrones Season 3, Episode 9, stop listening now.
Please hear that in all caps.
If you complain about being spoiled, we will simply drink your tears.
And giggle.
So Game of Thrones is something that we came to late. I picked up the DVDs. We got all caught up over the course of about
two weeks. Yeah, we kind of binged.
And so we were all caught up and ready for episode 9, which aired live Sunday night. I knew what was coming because I'd read the books, and I've been trying to convince Jennifer to not read spoilers online, which she did not do.
Now, wait a minute. The only thing that I saw last night was my Twitter app on my computer shows the trending topics on Twitter.
Yeah, you should say that that episode exploded the Twitterverse.
Yeah. So I saw the name Robb Stark trending on Twitter, and I'm thinking, oh, this is no good.
No good will come of this. Yeah. I was actually more surprised that it was all about Rob and no mention of Caitlin, both of whom, by the way, spoiler, got killed last night.
Oh, my God. You can't just say got killed. Like, that was a freaking mob hit was what
It was a medieval Godfather hit at a wedding.
Seriously, the only thing missing was the cannolis.
Affectionately referred to among fans as the Red Wedding, which I believe is mentioned later in the books by name.
They killed the dog.
They killed the dog. They killed everybody. They killed the pregnant woman. They killed everybody. It was a massacre.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they start with Talisa. I mean, she, you know, she and her sort of faux baby bump were the first things to get whacked.
Well, what you haven't seen yet, and what I told you last night, is that it actually gets worse.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, I've been reading more stuff online. Apparently, Joffrey's wedding is referred to as the Purple Wedding.
Well, there's Joffrey's wedding, but people who go back to the site of the Red Wedding find that not only had they beheaded Robb Stark, but they sewed his dog's head on his body.
Yeah, I've heard about that too. And that apparently they haven't
got that far in the show yet. But I don't know if they're going to do that next week or next season. But yeah, that's, you know, it's not enough that Martin kills people. He just kills them in the worst possible way you can imagine.
Well, he makes you fall in love with people and then he kills them. Yeah.
And the dog didn't even get out of the crate in the TV show. At least the dog got out of the crate in the book and, like, ripped some people up.
Yeah, apparently the dog got to, you know, get in a few bites. But, no, I've been, since I'm thoroughly, you know, caught up now with the show, I've been poking around a bit more on the Reddit forum, which, by the way, is really amazing. There are like 12 different filters that you can apply for book spoilers, TV spoilers. I mean, you really can actually, this forum goes really above and beyond in making sure that people are not unnecessarily spoiled if they are smart about it. So I was really impressed with that.
Like not reading Twitter while watching the show.
Oh, shut up. I have two separate Twitter apps. The one on my computer is a little bit more comprehensive than the one on my phone. I have to go looking for trending topics on the one on my phone. I didn't do that. I was just, you know, switching over to the other desktop. And, yeah, my bad.
At least the Caitlin thing was a surprise.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there was much speculation online about how next week is going to end. And there are some people who are saying, you know, who've taken your particular speculation.
Uh-huh.
And they think that that's how it'll end. The name of next week's episode is the old Valyrian word for mother.
Hmm.
So apparently it's going to be fairly Daenerys heavy.
I would expect that's probably correct. And then, Cersei is Joffrey's mom too. So.
Right. Yeah, it is all about moms, really. Yeah. What I find interesting is that apparently there was some interview or something with George R. R. Martin a while back where he was talking about how he wanted to take the typical narrative and just turn it on its head. You know, the thing where, you know, there's a hero and a villain and rising action and, a pinnacle and denouement and, you know, climax and all of that junk. And he's just decided, you know what? There are no heroes and villains. There are just different points of view.
Well, the other thing that I find interesting is that if for the folks that are just watching the television show, we've had three seasons of the Stark family versus the Lannister family.
And the Starks are taking it on the chin.
And the Starks are getting their ass handed to them. But at the point of where we are in the book, you have Robb leading the Stark side, who is dead, and Joffrey, who's the nominal head of the Lannister side, who's also going to be dead very soon. So,
and thank God for it.
Thank God for it. So you've had three seasons of television, 30 hours of television building towards, well, we don't know what's going to happen because both of the opposing forces are now dead.
And a lot of people online have been saying, you know what, I'm done. You know, they've spent all this time making me care about people who are all freaking dead now. And the counsel that we've been receiving is, no, stick with it. Season 4, I guess the next book, somebody said that it's going to be, I believe their quote was, payoff after payoff, and you're going to get essentially a new set of people to be interested in.
Right. And that's the point in the books that I pretty much gave up because I couldn't continue being interested in people who were just going to get killed off. And so the only two people that I really followed in the books were Jon Snow and Arya Stark. And those are the only two people I was interested in. Everybody else, I didn't really care about. And they're both still alive. Yay! Yeah,
well, I think my favorite meme that I've seen so far was an image that was like, I think it's either 6 or 8 different character portraits, just little headshots of different people. And it's all the different Starks and one word in each box. And it's just, we are never, ever, ever getting back together.
Bang, you're dead. Bang, you're dead. Well, bang, I mean, you're dead.
How evil and horrible is it to, you know, take a Game of Thrones reference like that and reduce it to a freaking Taylor Swift song.
But they were very close. Bran and Jon were very close to getting back together at the end of episode 9. And they were just, you know, one stone wall apart and it just didn't happen.
Well, at least Bran appears to know that Jon is still alive and still out there.
Right. Bran has no clue about anything.
No, of course not. And I also like the meme.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yeah, I like the meme that was going around about him, the image of just a picture of him, and it says...
Crows before hoes?
Ding, yeah. A winner's you. Which is just wrong and mean and horrible. And, yeah. And I don't know. I'm glad to hear that next season apparently is going to be much heavier on the whole King's Landing thing. I think I must be the only person who still kind of likes Sansa.
Sansa's an idiot.
Oh, she's an idiot, but she's wising up real quick.
I don't think so.
Oh, come on. She's
still an idiot.
She is certainly not – the same doe-eyed moron that we met in the first season and through most of the second, frankly. She's started learning a little bit, at least, how to make her way in that society.
I would say this in her defense. She's not as dumb as Andrea on Walking Dead.
Okay, you know what? Andrea on The Walking Dead was so, you know, God, they need to draw her like just a quote from Jessica Rabbit. I'm not stupid. I'm just drawn that way.
Well, written that way.
Yes. That was
character. But that's a whole other podcast.
Yes, it is. And that was character assassination. I feel sorry for Sansa. Because you get the feeling that she, before things went horribly, horribly wrong for the Starks, in their family life, she was used to being the pretty one and the smart one and the girly girl, who, of course, her mother understood far better than her mom understood Arya.
Who was running around with sticks hitting people. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I get the feeling that she was incredibly spoiled. And is, you know, shit is continuing to get extremely real for her. And it's just kind of one shock after another. I feel sorry for her. I really do. You know, she doesn't come across as, I was afraid that she was going to be a mean girl who was going to totally fall in with Joffrey and, you know, suck up to him and be, you know, that kind of awful. And she's not. So, you know, I feel sorry for her, and I need more Tyrion. I'm sorry. I just need more Tyrion Lannister in my life. He's the only Lannister that I like.
You're saying you love the D.
Oh, shut up. I like the imp. What can I say?
He does a fantastic job. That actor does a fantastic job playing him.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. He deserves all the accolades that he's gotten. And I think I kind of agree with Shay, his whore / wife / whatever in the hell she is.
Significant other.
Significant other. Yes. That the gash on his face and the scar is kind of badass and only serves to make him more sexy.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There's Game of Thrones in a nutshell.